if someone were to rattle you awake at 2:30 in the morning from a deep sleep and say, who are you? What do you stand for? Can you answer it that quickly the same way? That's what you really want to get to the point where it's just, it's part of your ethos. It's part of who you are, right? So then and it is genuine because that's who you are.
All right, welcome back to View from Above with John Berger. I'd like to kind of button up the conversation we've been on here lately of vision statements and communicating that vision and executing that vision. And I think another part of that that we've scratched the surface on, but would like to maybe dig a little bit more into it is the marketing of that message. I had a chance to chat with a chief marketing officer of a firm yesterday or a couple of days ago. And we were talking about the X's and O's of actually going out and executing a marketing plan. And how many people, especially in my world of working with advisors, we don't really see it all the way through. We get a big plan and we plan to do something with it, and it would probably work if we saw it through. But we invest the time to start the process and then we never finish it, right? So there's kind of the execution piece, but then there's also the what are you going to communicate? Because I think some of the worst marketers in the world are the ones who think they're expert marketers because they stick so much to the marketing. What they learned in marketing school, they kind of lose touch a little bit with their customers and what the customers want to hear. What's your experience been with that on the marketing side and getting that message out there in a way that they will actually listen?
Well, that's one of the major challenges. It's always been a challenge for me, even as an advisor and a coach, is I know what I do. I know what I'm capable of. I think I'm pretty good at communicating that directly. But then again, it's kind of like, as you allude to, sort of you get this strategy together and then a squirrel comes by and it's like, oh, and there you go. And, you know, best laid plans of mice and men. And that's kind of been always one of the challenges as an advisor and as a financial planner, quite frankly, is, you know, a plan is only as good as its execution. A plan is only as good, you know, once it's on paper, it's defunct, and you got to be willing to bob and weave and pivot through all those things. So the same thing goes with marketing strategy. Same thing goes with messaging. And I would say the one thing that is most easily lost, especially when you are picking up newer or different marketing vehicles, or you're saying, well, this kind of worked here, but now I see this other vehicle we can use, and let's try to move into that strategy, is making sure that that message stays consistent, that no matter how somebody's picking up on you, whether they're getting it through a traditional marketing message or they're getting it through a brand new medium, the message has to be delivered consistently. And that's why I always go back to, it's really important to, you know, have that 11 word, this is who we are, this is what we stand for. Because if you're saying that from whatever mountaintop you're saying it from, and whichever direction from that mountaintop you are saying it, it's still the same message. So people may pick up on you three or four different ways, but they're hearing the same message, far more likely that it will start to resonate as long as it's consistent. But if you're saying one thing one way because that's the medium, and then you're saying something completely different over here in a different medium because maybe you're thinking that's a different audience, so I'm going to speak to that one differently, I think that's where people really run into trouble, especially with marketing messages. Not so much the vehicle, is that they let the vehicle kind of drive what the message is. And I tend to think that it should go the other way.
There's a song that, it's not a famous song by any means, but there's I get into independent artists that nobody's ever heard of, right? So there's a guy from Georgia that I'm a big fan of, and he has a song, one of the lyrics, the name of the song is Speak the Truth, and the chorus is Speak the Truth, Keep It Short and Keep It Simple. And I feel like that's a pretty good marketing message, I think, if you really wanted to, a marketing strategy, good way of putting that. Because if you have to keep it short, especially nowadays, we have very short attention span, but that's not a new phenomenon. I mean, even back in the, you know, when billboards were popular, you had to get your message out. Somebody doesn't have time to read a paragraph while they're riding down the interstate, right? You have to get to the point. But then I think also sometimes what we do is, we think that short has to be flashy and it has to be something that just knocks your socks off with this, you know, really creative thing or something that's going to be that attention grabber. A friend of mine, he would always send me these, like when he was on dating apps and trying to meet girls, like, what do you think of this pickup line? What do you think? And I was always going back to like, what about just, hey, how are you? You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with just something like normal and simple that kind of communicates? Why do we have to go for the shock value all the time? Because to me, I think the best one-liners have come by accident. I hear things back from people that, man, this really resonated. And I'm like, really? That didn't seem like it would be that big of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of times you get that. I think one thing that seems to be a common theme, especially for small businesses or in a consulting type business or anything where you're really, there's going to be a trust factor in that engagement, being genuine and not coming across as the used car salesman or looking for that flashy line seems to go farther than coming up with the greatest marketing line or the most clever play on words.
Yeah, and I'd kind of amplify on that concept in that being genuine is important, and the fastest way someone will start to think or believe that you are not being genuine is if you're not consistent. It's so easy to be consistent if you're being genuine because,
yeah,
right, you are who you are, and as long as you're being genuine, you're going to be consistent. And it's when you start trying to be something that you're not, and then you start modifying the message. And just little tweaks even, just small, minor adjustments, many people will start to read as, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. I thought he said this over here, and now he's saying this there, and which is it, right? That's one of the reasons why when we're doing the whole marketing message makeover concept, I try to drill into clients as we're going through the process. It's like if someone were to rattle you awake at 2:30 in the morning from a deep sleep and say, who are you? What do you stand for? Can you answer it that quickly the same way? That's what you really want to get to the point where it's just, it's part of your ethos. It's part of who you are, right? So then it is genuine because that's who you are. And then you can be much more consistent. I think the message tends to resonate much more, and then you know, marketing 101, it's not what you only get one chance to make that first impression. But honestly, nobody's going to respond, or very few people are going to really respond off the first impression. It's the multiple impressions, right? And how many times do they hear that message? And it takes, my old radio days when we were in it, the word was it takes 7 to 12 times of hearing the same message before it even starts to get into the conscious mind.
And I think that's even more the case now. This is maybe speaking to anyone who's done some digital marketing or thinking about doing digital marketing or who's trying to learn. I had never probably even heard the word digital marketing until 2018. And someone started talking to me about it, and I didn't get it at all. And slowly over 2, 3, 4 years started to develop some interest in it because it was so technical and analytical. It started to really get that side of my brain flowing a little bit. And then over time, I eventually figured out that it was too technical and too analytical that I about, you know, would get myself bogged down in the weeds for a week at a time trying to figure out how to increase my engagement rate by 0.4%. One thing about the digital world is you said 7 to 10 times. Well, nowadays it's like 25 to 30 times before you're even going to get somebody's attention. And it's partially because I think we as a species have a shorter attention span. But also the barriers of entry to marketing are a lot lower now than they were 15, 20 years ago. Before, advertising was fairly expensive, and you were going to have a minimum investment of a few $100 to get an ad in the paper or a few thousand probably for a billboard. You can start a Google campaign or a Facebook campaign for $10. I mean, and you're paying 50 cents a click. You test it out, you get 50 clicks. And for me, I thought 50 clicks would probably be at least 40 sales. You know, I mean, I've got a great product, and of course, everybody's going to buy it. So there's a huge disconnect in the expectations, I think, when someone starts marketing. And that's part of the reason that they don't stick with it. And you're going to need to have a plan and stick to that plan. And there was something I said one time. This might have even been one of those accidental one-liners. Sticking to a bad plan works out better than quitting a good plan. Right. So you've got to see through to the end of whatever you're doing until you realize it's not working. Don't beat a dead horse, but you need to see something through to some minimum level of feedback before you can make a decision on it. And in the digital world, at 25, 30 impressions before somebody's going to even think about moving forward with you, even at 50 cents a pop, and you're having to do this at a wide scale, it's going to take time and it's going to take some dollars to do it. Yep. And you've got to be committed to it.
Yeah, no, definitely very true. So as I was saying, the 7 to 10 thing, that's from my radio days. We're talking back in the 80s and 90s, right? And then it was very limited what you could do. You could do print, you could do radio, and if we were selling somebody on radio ads, we were telling them, you're going to want 6 to 8 minimum runs of that ad a day, and you're going to want to run that ad every day for probably at least a month in order for have the opportunity to have the same person hear that ad at least a half dozen times before it even starts bubbling into their conscious mind. It could take longer, but that was just the strategy in those days. And yes, we had far fewer impression points that we could do. Now, you know, they're all over the place, but they're really flash ads, and they come in and they go, and you don't see them, and you know, you might respond to them, you might not, and it's a different world, and there's just a lot more of those touch points. So it doesn't surprise me at all if the number is 25 to 30. It may even be bigger than that, quite frankly.
And you have to legitimize yourself in a digital marketing campaign as well, because the thing about it is the public may not have known this 5 or 6, 8 years ago. I certainly didn't know it in the beginning. But if you see an ad on Facebook, or you see an ad on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you see one, heck, they're on YouTube TV now. You can be watching TV with, you know, streaming services, and an ad can run. But because these things they're cost effective, which is good for the advertiser, but there's a bad side of that to the consumer too, which means anybody with $50 can throw something out there. Right. And you don't necessarily know how legitimate the businesses are that you're seeing these ads for. And neither do the algorithms, because I'm going through something right now with Facebook where I'm having to go through this review process for them to make sure so that they know I'm a real human, because AI can do a lot of these things in an automated type system. And what you're seeing advertised isn't even a real person or a real business. And there's a lot of things that they have to go through to make sure you're legitimate. So the same thing that's an advantage for you as a marketer is a disadvantage as well. Yes, it's cheap, or cost effective is the appropriate word to use there. But guess what comes with that? Everybody and their brother can come in there and compete with you, and nobody knows who to trust.
True. So my point and sort of that I was my counterpoint to all of that is one more reason why you really want to make sure your message is consistent and genuine to who you are and what your audience is. It's far more likely you'll bubble through all of that extra noise, and that's really all it is. It's just the advertising is noise to the vast majority of us as we're hearing it, you know, on the receiving end. It's just noise. And how do you separate your noise from all the other noise and actually say this, there's a message in this noise and you want to hear it? And the only way you can do that is to be really ultra consistent. And going back to the earlier part of the conversation, I think one of the reasons why the emphasis was being on being super pithy or being, you know, having that really catchy phrase was because in the old days with more limited access points, and especially with billboards, right? There were so few of them, and the ones that were really dynamic stood out. But that doesn't mean that the other ones were not successful. There were a lot of billboard ads that didn't have, you know, the quip on mile one and then the next quip on mile two and so on and so forth that were extremely effective because they had eyeballs. And they eyeballs saw that nice, simple message over and over and over again every day. And it was as long as the message was consistent. And that's the big thing.
Yeah. Consistency is a huge, and I totally agree that I'm sure a lot of people get, there's a line there somewhere though. I mean, I know that a lot of marketers will do A/B testing and do things to see which line works better. And there's some of that makes sense on the analytics side. But even that, you need to be saying the same thing maybe two different ways. You don't need to be saying two completely different things.
Well, no,
you
know,
and that should be done at a small scale as part of that focus group research, not at the big scale of, okay, let's run two huge campaigns and see which one works better. That's where you're going to get confusion.
A/B testing only works really when you have minor tweaks in the message and you're just trying to see if one resonates a little bit more than the other one does. And those are minor. Those are minor adjustments. And if your message is way off base or it's all over the place, you can A/B test all you want. The data you're going to get from it is worthless. It really is. Yeah. And so, yeah, it goes back. Nice, short, simple, consistent, genuine, make it you. You'll find that you get a lot more bang for whatever advertising dollars you're spending, no matter whether you're in the modern world of advertising or you're back in the traditional world with billboards and radio ads or TV or print or whatever it is.
Cool stuff. Well, John, I know we're both kind of running for time today, so we'll keep this one short. Appreciate you taking the time to chat with me again, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks. But hope you enjoy your weekend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, man. Take care.
See you.